Blog Talk Radio. I don't know about the rest of you, but I love this time of the day. I love how the cool, crisp night air kisses the ground, leaving behind a gentle layer of dew. I love looking up into the night sky and seeing the moon shining down upon us like an old, trusted friend. I look forward to spending our Thursday nights here together on Blog Talk Radio as we travel together on this journey into the night.
Are with us tonight, and I hope everybody in Florida is safe and keeping their heads ducked from Matthew down there. So,
yes, very true. Yeah, watching the news doesn't look good. Please evacuate as you're ordered to do. That's nothing to mess with. Hurricanes are no fun. Been there, done that, here in Texas. So, yeah, my heart and prayer goes out to everybody that they stay safe. But anyway, this month begins an exciting month for us here at Deadly Reads Radio. 1 month, 1 year ago this month, Lisa and I took the dive into Blog Talk Radio. We have come a long, long way.
I think we have.
Yes, we have. And so October's kind of special to Lisa and I as far as our little radio show here on Blog Talk. But what makes it even more special is it's a fun month because of Halloween. So this month we have lined up people that are perfect for the season. We've got people that write paranormal and some that write horror. We have somebody that's making a horror movie, and it's just going to be fun all the way around. So
it is.
It is. So tonight we're going to start out with a night of paranormal bliss. We have joining us tonight Lisa Medley. She is a reader and writer of paranormal romance, urban fantasy novels about monsters in love. She says, because monsters need love too. Isn't that true? Yeah. So, I just love her bio. A lover of beasties of all sorts, she has a farm full of them in her southwestern Missouri home, which consists of one child, one husband, two dogs, two cats, a dozen hens, thousands of Italian bees, and a guinea pig. She says she's not so in love with the guinea pig. We're going to have to find out why on that one. That sounds rather interesting.
Right.
Other facts interesting about Lisa are the day job is at a community blood center for the past 15 years. Yeah, folks, she's a vampire. She's that person that comes after you with the needle and makes us all break out in a sweat. She talks people into bleeding on purpose. Lisa's been married to the same man for 24 years, plus 6 years of stalking. She says it wasn't considered a crime then. Okay. Now, Lisa also proudly claims to be able to do 10 push-ups in a row. Now, of course, that is always subject to change. 10, wow, she can brag about 10. I might brag about one. And lastly, Lisa claims to have a complete zombie apocalypse bug-out bag, including machete in her trunk at all times, just in case. So, everybody, as you can I knew you'd love that, wouldn't you, Lisa, because you're all about the zombies.
I'll have to find out what she's got in her zombie pack.
I know it. So, everybody, this is going to be fun. We're going to have two Lisas. We were laughing about it before the show. It's going to be two Lisas and one Linda. So, I'm outnumbered, but that's okay. Let's bring on Lisa to Deadly Reads and give her a nice warm welcome. Hey, Lisa, how are you doing this evening?
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Linda and Lisa. Thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun night.
It is going to be fun. I tell you what, reading your bio for the first time when I was setting up everything for the show, I was laughing myself silly. I thought, you know, this girl's going to be a blast.
Well, sadly, it's also all true.
Now, first of all, before we get into your writing, please explain the not liking the guinea pig too much, because I'm rather curious about that one. Did it bite you or something horrible?
No. It's just, it tends to make quite the mess with its various body functions in my daughter's room. And I'm the one that always gets to clean it up. So after about 3 years with this guinea pig, I only recently watched a YouTube video of like another 10-year-old girl. I saw that she had her guinea pig in like a crate instead of this big cage, like a big Rubbermaid crate, which was ingenious. And since then, the guinea pig's gotten a lot more popular around the house. He can't make the mess that he was making.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that bio.
Isn't it amazing how kids want these critters, but they never want to do the work to keep the critter?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, exactly. And guinea pigs live a surprisingly long time. At least this one has, so he's got a good environment, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's doing that just to make you crazy, see? It's going to stay around.
I fully believe that.
I remember our granddaughter one time decided she wanted a tarantula.
Oh,
yes. And the young man that our daughter was dating at the time, she's a single mom at the time, and she was dating this guy, for our granddaughter's birthday, he went out and bought her a tarantula.
That is not right.
My daughter is like, you know, if there's a spider in the house, you just burn the house down. You know, she's just that away about it.
I'm all right with the spiders because I can just stomp on that. But a snake, I don't do snakes.
So anyway, of course, when it came time to clean out the aquarium or terrarium or whatever you call it that you keep those things, keep them in, of course, the granddaughter was nowhere around. You know, she was just too young. I just can't do it, you know. So my daughter told me of the experience the first time she ended up having to clean it out, you know, and the whole heebie-jeebie and oh my gosh and jumping up and down and shaking. I guess it was, I would have loved to have had a camera there for that because, you know, she just doesn't do spiders.
I think I would have cleaned it out with a vacuum hose.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't it fun being a parent?
And then we could have made up a story about what happened to it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. There you go. Anyway, okay. Now, let's get on to you because we only have an hour and it goes by fast. What led you to become a writer? What made you decide to take up writing?
Well, I had written a lot in high school and written columns for our local paper, mostly about my family and that kind of thing. And then I actually ended up teaching high school English for 3 dog years and then gave up on that.
3 dog years.
Turns out teachers are pretty much the only ones in high school that like English, so... And then I started working for the blood center, and so while I was working for the blood center, one of my friends, he was a comedian and did some improv and some acting, and he and his wife were getting ready to think about having kids, and he decided he wanted to go out to L.A. and try to make it as an actor before that happened. So his very supportive wife let him do that, and he lived in a friend of a friend's parents' basement for a year trying to do acting. And I thought, you know, if he can upset his entire life and go follow a dream, then I can surely schlep upstairs and let my family eat ramen noodles while I pursue this writing thing. And so I started writing in 2011 and just kind of kept going from there. I first thing I wrote was a vampire story because, you know, of course vampires were pretty hot back then. And gave it to one of my friends, and she said, well, this is good, but what makes it different? And I thought, well, you know, nothing really makes a difference. It's just another vampire story. So then I kind of started thinking about what I could write about that was a little bit different. And I came up with Reapers. Weren't too many Reaper stories out there, and that was how the Reaper series was born. And I wrote Reap and Repent, finished it up, I think, August of 2012. And then I actually entered it into Harlequin had a So You Think You Can Write contest, an online contest. And there were over 700 global entries, and you uploaded you uploaded the first 5,000 words. And at that point, my story was called Reap 'em and Weep. And so I uploaded the first 5K of that, and it was a long month of voting and crazy promotion, and I made it to the top 28 out of those 700 global entries. So that was pretty exciting. And so then there was more voting, and then I lost, and then sadness ensued. And then in January, Harlequin called me and bought all 3 books.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Wow,
so
that's awesome.
That was awesome. So that turned out pretty good. And I worked with them for about a year and editing, which was great. It was a great experience. And then they published the first 2 of this trilogy. They published Reap and Repent and Reap and Redeem. And we were working on Reap and Reveal, the third one, and they decided to close that line down and gave everybody their rights back, which was good. That first year, I made about $300. So they gave everybody the rights back, and I republished it, and last year I made $7,000.
Wow.
Yay.
Yeah, so an indie author, things went much better after that. But it was a cool experience, and I had some great editing and a good chance to kind of learn both sides of the fence, traditional publishing and indie publishing.
Well, it is. It's hard. It's hard as an indie, you know. Everybody thinks, oh, I need to go the traditional route. But a lot of times the traditional isn't quite as good as the indie anymore, it seems like, you know.
No, you just you lose so much control.
It, well, then you have so many hands in the pie. You have so many hands in the pie that, you know, when you have a book that's selling, you know, for, I don't know, $7-$8, I think is pretty normal for the traditional published one. And the author's lucky if they make 50 cents.
That's,
you know,
exactly
that's,
right.
That says there's a lot of hands in that pie. You know?
That's right. Yeah, and the wheels grind slowly. Nothing happens quickly. So since then, I've published, I just finished publishing my seventh book, and it's a sexy Sasquatch shifter story. So it will answer all your Bigfoot questions will be answered.
Ooh, now I want to know, is Bigfoot hot? Is Bigfoot hot in this?
Bigfoot is hot because he's a shifter, and that's why no one's ever found a dead or alive Bigfoot.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good idea to do it that way because, to be honest with you, you know, I mean, we all love vampires, but the whole vampire thing has kind of gotten worn out.
You know, and now they're going to the werewolves.
Yeah. It's kind of cyclical. You know, and so this is different. You know, Lisa's done the same thing with her. She has creatures called Hellebay, you know, and so they're a little, you know, they're different. They're a shifter type thing also. So, I mean, you know, you gotta be the trendsetter. You have to be the one that starts the new craze, you know, and... I think that's a good idea, you know.
Can you give us a little information about your Reaper series? Can you tell us a little bit about them?
I can. So if you like the show Supernatural, I love that show, and I like the idea of the Reapers in that show. You know, they aren't skeletal, you know, grim reapers like you would imagine in the cartoons. They're just, you know, human-looking people with powers. And I thought, you know, my reapers are hot. So you might not be so sad to see the grim reaper come and visit you because they are all they're all pretty yummy. And so I took that idea of the reapers and threw in, you know, the fight between good, it's a old age-old fight between good and evil, heaven and hell. Of course, Lucifer's doing his thing and sending out his minions and trying to take over the earth and sending out demons. So not only are the Reapers trying to collect souls, but they're trying to keep the demons from poaching them too. So that's the fight.
Wow, sounds interesting.
And each one has a romantic element in it, and the first one's called Reap and Repent, and it's actually free on all the formats that people like to read on. And there are audiobooks for all three of them also. And so if you on Amazon anyway, if you download the Reap and Repent on Amazon for free, I think you can get the audiobook for like $2.99. So you can have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. Audiobooks, a lot of people really love the audiobooks because if they're like you commuters, you know, or like I was for many years, we used to listen to a lot of books on, you know, books on tape that says, you know, how old it was.
Right.
You know, when I was truck driving with my husband, you know, and I remember listening to the entire Harry Potter series driving, you know,
Oh, I bet that was a great audiobook too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know,
yeah,
I mean, audiobooks
are fun. You can consume a lot
more
content.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
yep,
now
yep.
I have to ask, though, do you write with the lights on?
Yeah, I'm lucky to have a writing cave upstairs, and I can come up here and shut the door and just. Hey, sometimes I like to open up the window so I can hear the night creatures out there and the crickets and the owls and all the good stuff out there, and mm-hmm. they're my soundtrack. But
right.
I do write with the lights on. I have there's some, you know, there's some scary stuff in there, but
yeah.
if you can watch Supernatural, you can read these for sure.
That's true.
Okay.
And I try to make some, you know, there's some funny stuff in there too, and some witty banter, so it's not
mm-hmm.
it's something for everybody that way.
Right. Well, who's your hero in the series? Who's the hero?
My heroes, each book has a different Reaper hero. The first one, my hero is Deacon Walker, and there's of course a whole backstory to how he got to where he is.
Mm-hmm.
But Ruth is the heroine of the first series. But I'm going to give you a little secret. My favorite one is Kylan, who is the hero of the second story.
Mm-hmm.
He's really a dark anti-hero, and he had a lot of issues to work out.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the most fun to write, and I really liked spending time with him and in his story. And I have to get him in every story a little bit because I just don't want to let him go.
Yeah. sounds like a good series. It really does.
Yeah, there's three in the series right now. There was a fourth one. I've got about 10,000 words written on the fourth one. The first is Reap and Repent. Second is Reap and Redeem. The third is Reap and Reveal, and the fourth it will be Reap and Reckon.
Okay.
All right. So now, do you think it's going to quit at four, or is it going to go more?
I think it's going to probably tie up a lot of loose ends in four, but probably quit that, stop that line of the series, but open up some doors for a spinoff. Because, you know, you just can't hardly ever let them go completely.
Right.
They become your family.
Right.
Well, the fans get so attached to book series
mm-hmm.
and the characters, you know, so...
And
yeah,
I'm that
great.
Way.
That sounds
good. Yeah, I'm that way reading and writing them, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just don't. You once you're in that world, you want to keep being in that world. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
True.
It makes it fun.
Now tell us about your Haunt My Heart. What's that one about?
Haunt My Heart is a modern day ghost story, and it's set in Fredericksburg, Virginia, at Chatham Manor, which was part of Civil War battles. During that time, so it has some reinvented history in it. And my hero is a Civil War ghost, and the gist of that story was that back in those times, there was a secret organization called the Band of Brothers, and they used supernatural forces, witches, different supernatural forces to win battles, and my hero aggravated one witch that he shouldn't have and got hexed to a ring, and my heroine goes on a ghost hunt against her will at Chatham Manor, which they really do have ghost hunts there, and finds this ring and takes it home, and of course going to clean it up and take it back to the manor the next day and to the lost and found, because it's a Civil War artifact. But she doesn't quite get it there, and things develop from there. So he's the hero. My hero is a Civil War ghost, so it takes a little while for them to get together, but it's worth it when they do.
That sounds
interesting.
Yeah, it's a paranormal romance, so that was a fun one to write, too.
I bet it was. And doing the research and everything, because, you know, you want to get it right, because there's history buffs out there that.
That's right.
You know,
Yeah, I did a lot of research. Did a lot of research on that one. It was fun. I learned a lot about the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
My husband's kind of a Civil War buff, so he approved it.
Okay.
So I was glad that he gave me the okay on that one.
Right.
Thumbs up.
Because people will definitely call you out if you get things wrong.
Oh, yes. They certainly will. But I enjoy research, so that's one of my favorite things about writing is doing the research on things.
It is fun, and you do learn so much.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to put it all in there. And there's just,
right.
Once you get started, there's so many opportunities to weave in.
Right.
It makes it really enjoyable. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it gives the story depth, too.
It does.
And
it's a lot of layers.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot richer, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Well, we talked a little bit about it earlier, but give us a little more idea of your Shifted in Seattle.
Well, my father-in-law is a big Bigfoot fan. I mean, he loves Bigfoot. And I always kind of poo-pooed it a little bit, but the more I got to thinking about it, the more I thought, you know, Bigfoot needs love too. And we need to find him. We need to find Bigfoot a woman. And so I started thinking about it and like, well, what would make sense, reason why they've never found a Bigfoot? Because, of course, there is Bigfoot. We all believe in Bigfoot, right?
Right.
So what if Bigfoot's a shifter? And that's why we've never found him, because if he gets killed, he just shifts back into a human. So, and so that was kind of the premise I started with. And
that's cool.
I love Seattle and the Pacific Northwest, and so of course I started it there. And even though in my story, there are clans of Bigfoot all over the world, you know, and that explains why there's the Yeti and all the different.
Mm-hmm.
Names for Bigfoot across the globe.
Right.
And the reason that they've been protected all these years is because the native peoples, in my story, it's the Lummi Nation, the Lummi Indian Nation, around the Seattle area that's protected that clan through the years. So the native peoples have protected them all these years. But now with a cell phone in the hand of every 10-year-old in the world, it's getting harder to keep their secrets. So...
Mm-hmm.
One of them is outed in downtown Seattle, and things go wrong from there.
Oh, no.
Oh, my. But now in human form, he's a hottie, huh?
Yes, he's a hottie. He does have a little issue with hair and has to shave several times a day.
Okay.
Right? Well, that makes perfect sense. He's a Bigfoot.
Yeah. So he actually meets my heroine at a theater in Seattle called the Annex Theater, which is a real place. So he's there watching a show and meets her in line for the bathroom, and then finds her later in a Craigslist missed opportunities ad, and so they go on a first date and things just go really wrong.
Uh-oh.
And his secret gets revealed, and then things kind of just fall apart. But it was a super fun story to write, and everyone's been enjoying it so far. It came out Monday in ebook.
New release.
Yeah, brand new release. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that
hopefully people will go out and enjoy that story. He's got some good reviews already, so
awesome.
Good.
Happy
good.
To share that.
Yeah, good.
So you're telling us your Bigfoot is not like Harry from Harry and the Hendersons, then, huh?
No. Well, when he changes, he's for he's Bigfoot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, it's just a fun story and kind of a fun twist on that, you know, mythology. So hopefully people will enjoy that.
I like the premise of it. I like the premise of it. You know, I mean, it's a good idea. It's really a good idea.
Thank you.
I can understand why you're already getting good reviews for it. Folks, brand new release. Go check it out.
That's right.
Oh, yes. Okay, now this title sounds very intriguing to me. Space Cowboys and Indians. What is this one about?
All right. So if you've seen the show Cowboys versus Aliens.
Yes, yes. Just watched it. I just watched that.
Did
tonight.
You? Okay. So that was one of the inspirations. And then this is another show that you may have seen. Harrison Ford and Anne Heche were in a show years ago called 6 Days, 7 Nights.
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome.
I love that.
It. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a mashup. This is kind of a mashup between those two shows. So the premise is a billionaire, sort of an Elon Musk, Richard Branson sort of guy. He's got big dreams to build for space tourism, wants to build a hotel on the moon. Well, to finance that, he's taken up asteroid mining. And so this is the first attempt at doing some asteroid mining, and he's used a lot of NASA rejects who washed out of the space program, and Cole is one of the rejects that washed out, and Tessa is also a reject. So they're on this mission to do this asteroid mining, and as things are wont to do, go horribly wrong, and they're pulled through a wormhole, and end up pulling an alien through with them and end up in early 1800s New Mexico.
Cool.
Oh, okay.
So then they got to figure out how they're going to get back. And that's the first story is Space Cowboys and Indians. And then the follow-up to that is The Astronaut's Princess.
Okay, now The Astronaut Princess, I wondered about that because I love that title.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, it was very intriguing. So I'm curious to hear about it.
If you read Space Cowboys and Indians, you're gonna know who the astronaut's princess is and whose story that's going to be. There is going to be a third story in that. I call them episodes. They're a little bit shorter. They're around 40,000 words, about 160 pages or so. And so they're episodes. And the third episode is going to be The Magnet's Moon.
Okay.
And so that's going to, my billionaire is going to get his story.
Oh. Okay. I think that's a smart idea to do that, you know, with continuing ones, because it takes a lot of time to write a full-length novel.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, stories, you know, I wrote them, and that's kind of the length they just end up, that's the benefit of being an indie author. You can write the story as the story is. You don't have to try to add in stuff to meet somebody else's word count, you know?
Right.
And so that's what the story was, and that's where I left them, and they're both around 40,000 words, 45,000 words, and they're complete stories, and they're rich and lots of romantic elements, but lots of action, so... I call them my sexy sci-fi adventure stories.
Oh, they sound exciting. You know, when I was growing up, I loved big books. But these days, I can understand people don't have time for big, huge books anymore.
Yeah, it's something that they can read in 2 or 3 days and you know, have a fun, quick story, but still the benefit of rich storytelling. So
right.
Exactly. Yeah. I like the way you call it too. You know, this episode's the next episode. You know, so that's a smart way to do it.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So now, you got to tell us about living on your farm, and what all entailed on living on your farm.
Yeah, we have 30 acres out here, and it's pretty secluded. When we first came out here, there was a little cabin that was built, and we called it the Y2K cabin because we figured that somebody probably built it around 1999 because they thought the apocalypse was going to happen, the computer apocalypse.
Right. I remember.
And so we moved out here, and we live back in the woods, and my goal was to not have to look at a mercury light in any direction. So I've accomplished that. We're pretty secluded out here, but if you ever wondered where the end of the internet is, it's our house.
Oh, your house. I don't know. I'll bet you on that one.
That is the only drawback to living out here is the internet is abysmal. But so we kind of have a little hobby farm, and I have a beehive. I've raised bees since we moved out here, and we have raised chickens, and we have 8 just barnyard mixed chickens, and I sell enough eggs every month to pay for the feed, and that's about it. And we have our fill of eggs.
Yeah.
Well, you always have eggs so too, much. So.
Yeah, they're better than the store-bought ones.
Yeah, they're great. Oh, it's nice. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the best of all worlds out here, really. We enjoy living out here, and we've got my daughter's 12, and she's got a tree house and a zip line and a pond and all sorts of stuff. So we wanted to make this the place where everybody wanted to come. So
sounds amazing. Yeah,
it's good to have stuff like that. I grew up; my parents had some acreage, not 30 acres, but I mean, I had a horse and I had a steer for FFA, and the whole stuff. I never worried about being bored because I always had something to do, you know.
Yep.
And so one good thing about you living there, you don't have to worry about your daughter wanting to have her face stuck on a cell phone all the time.
No, we don't have any cell phone coverage out here.
I know.
I have to walk outside to make a call and to the mailbox if I really want to have a good call, so.
You're a little bit more out in the country than I am. So our problem is internet. You would think that in this day and time that the whole world would be covered with the internet by now.
Oh, yeah, you'd think so, but apparently my town is not.
Well, you can always
make
the satellite.
That just
gives
you more time. Yeah. That just gives you more time for writing and reading, though.
It does. Yeah. It does. You can get the satellite stuff, but if it's overcast or raining, you have no signal. So,
yeah,
we tried that a few years ago. It was horrible.
It's pretty painful.
Like
I can just see you sitting there and you're looking out over your farm, writing your good story, scary story. That sounds perfect. Sounds like a good way to do it. Yeah. Okay, now we got to get to this part because I said it in the bio. Tell us about you being a vampire bloodsucker.
Well, I'm the one that I don't get to stick people with needles. I talk them into bleeding. So.
Them into it.
Yeah, and I realized I need to update my bio because this is I've just started my 17th year. So it's a local blood center called Community Blood Center, and I work with volunteers in the community. I cover 9 counties and responsible for about 10,000 donations a year in my county. Work with volunteers at like churches and businesses and schools organizing blood drives. So kind of like the circus front man, you know, I go to town and get it all set up and then bring in the clowns, right?
Yep. I know. I said when I was reading your bio, you know, the one that makes us our faces turn ashen, you know, because it's like, you're going to stick me with that. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. But it's, you know, it's a good thing. And there's not very many things that we can do that help somebody else as immediately as a blood donation. It's such a personal gift, but it makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, with all the wonderful things we can do, that's just something we cannot make fake.
Scientists have tried to make synthetic bloods, but they just won't carry oxygen like red cells will, and it's just not. We just got to count on each other to be there for us. So
my husband has the universal blood, and he gets calls all the time.
One negative. We're good at stalking you if you're an O negative for sure.
But like you said, it's a very important thing to do to give blood, especially this time of the year, because there seems to be, you know, so many more accidents, the weather's getting bad, and
it's just important all the time because it's an emergency for somebody every day.
That's true.
It might be a big one or it might be something small.
That's true.
My mom's had to have she has non-alcoholic liver cirrhosis, and she's had to have several transfusions, and that's, you know, it's only been in a couple of units at a time, but it's kept her going and with us, and we're very thankful. So
yeah,
definitely a good
thing
to do. So go give blood, people.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I do know if you get in an accident. I was telling you when we talked the other day that I was in an accident in 1982, and I had to have massive amounts of blood because there was, you know, I basically almost bled out.
Mm-hmm.
And they hit up everybody that knew me that was coming to see me at the hospital. It was almost like, you can see it, but you got to give blood first, you know?
Yep.
and that's
kind of the thing, too, you know. When something bad happens, everybody thinks to do it, but it was the people that gave the day before those bad things happened that helped save those lives, because it has to be tested and there's processing to go through, so...
Yep.
It's super important, and I'm glad that was there when you needed it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I look at it this way. My friends and family help replenish what I was using, you know, to stay alive.
Yep.
So that's very important, you know.
Yep.
Wow. Well, let's see here. Now, do you have any other books that are going to be coming out soon? Anything that's coming out anytime soon?
Well, Shift in Seattle came out Monday, and so I'm kind of working on promoting that right now and trying to get that out to people. And I've got about 10,000 words into Reap and Reckon. It'll be a longer story. Those books are around 300 pages long, so around 80,000 words.
Okay.
I've got about 10,000 words started on that, and I'm excited about that story. For those folks who are going to get into the series, I did kill a reaper in the first chapter, so everybody's going to ask me who it is, and I'm not going to tell them. They're going to have to wait. So
you're mean.
I am mean. So I started that, and the Magnet's Moon has been beating around in my head a lot too, especially Elon Musk has been in the news a lot lately and talking about his space tourism and how he's wanting to be able to get everyday people into space, and that gets my motor running and wanting to write on that book too. But
right.
And then I started another little one, and I've just got about 1,500 words on that. I travel a lot for my job, so I have a lot of dashboard time to car plot. One day I was driving back, and there's a little white farmhouse way off in the distance and surrounded by trees. I just saw a glimpse of it, and it had a real long gravel drive. You've probably seen a million of them. But there was a bunch of buzzards flying over the top of it, circling around. I was like, you know what? There's something dead over there. And, so of course, that got the wheels a-rolling, and as soon as I got home, I had to stop and write the first couple of chapters of that story. I don't know where it's going yet, but it's got a good start.
You need to keep you one of those little voice recorders with you at all times.
Yeah, I do that sometimes with my iPhone. I've started a lot of stories in my iPhone.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that makes it kind of fun, and I have a million dashboard sticky notes. I don't know how much gas I have or how fast I'm going, but I know what the next plot idea is.
Yeah. So, Deb, before we run out of time, I want to hear about your zombie apocalypse bug out bag.
All right. Well, here's the deal. So I travel a lot. I drive about 2,500 miles a month.
Right.
And I figure when the zombie apocalypse hits, I'm going to be, like, at the outer nether regions of my territory and have to get home. So if that happens, I am prepared. I have a backpack in there, and I am not kidding. I have a machete because you don't have to reload a machete.
That's true.
Right.
Good point.
In the zombie apocalypse.
Good point.
That's
good point.
So I've got an extra pair of tennis shoes because I figure I'll have my flip-flops on or my sandals on.
Right.
I've got water pellets, iodine pellets. I've got some dehydrated meals. I've got flashlights. I've got all sorts of stuff.
You are ready.
I'm ready. I'm getting home. I'm about 100 miles away from my home. At the end of my territory. So.
Right. Yeah.
Someday I'm going to write that story.
I think you should. That's what I think you should.
So that's what you should call it.
The zombie apocalypse bug out.
That's right. That's right. I figure I'll be at the very end of the. I'll be 100 miles away when it happens. That's just the way my luck rolls. So.
Yeah, the phrase could be, "No zombie is going to keep this mother away from my daughter."
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
I just have one thing to say. If you ever get pulled over, and the police officer wants to look in your trunk.
Uh-huh.
I want to know what happened.
I want to know
what the face was like on that officer.
Well, I can probably just have him look me up on Amazon and all of his questions will be answered.
Yeah, there you go. That old crazy author.
Just for fun, you ought to have a life-size doll back there with red color on it.
Yeah. I might have a lot of new experiences to write about after that.
That's true.
Years ago, when my husband and I were still driving truck, on the side of the sleeper of the truck, there's like a compartment door there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had found this thing. It was an arm with a hand that looked like a white sleeve.
Yes.
And we closed that into the door so the arm was flopping. We were trying to get to the roof. And the looks on their faces when they drive by looking up at us like, what?
That's awesome.
You need to get something like that hanging out of your trunk.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I was younger, I don't know where he got it, but my dad got this casket, and it was a purple casket, just a purple metal casket. So he'd trot that out every Halloween, and he'd stuff a pair of jeans with some straw and hang it half out of the casket and drive around town all Halloween.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, maybe you have a good sense of humor. You were born with it. It came through genetics.
I think so.
Right.
I think so. I was twisted at a young age, I think.
Yeah.
That's the most fun people that's twisted.
Oh, yeah. But honestly, if you ever get pulled over, I want to know what explanation you gave the officer of why you have a machete and a bug-out kit. When you
I'll think of something. I should probably think of that now, though, come to think of it.
My daughter's a police officer. I'll have to run that by her, what she would think if she ever saw something like that in somebody's trunk.
Well, I figure I'm just going to say it's going to be for hacking through all the poison ivy on the way home.
There you go.
Yeah. That's good.
Oh, that's just stupid. I got tears streaming down my face. Oh, my goodness. Well, shoot. Now, let me know something. You already said that you like to open the windows and let the little cricket sounds and all that or whatever. But what is your actual work? What do you do? I mean, do you have any rituals you do when you're writing?
Well, I started out, I was pretty much a pantser, which I just sat down and just started writing. But since then, I've become a little bit more of a plotter. So usually what I'll do is when I'm driving, I'll jot things down on sticky notes and make little notes. And whenever I've got enough of them, I'll sit down and kind of put them in a bullet list in a Word document and shift them around until they start to make a little bit of sense, and I have a little bit of a plot to get me started. And then I just I usually write after my family's gone to bed. You know, I work full time for the blood center, so I write at night a lot, and usually from 8:30 or 9 until midnight when I'm actively writing. And I can usually get anywhere from 500 to 1,500 words in that time.
That's not bad.
Yeah, if I'm rolling pretty good, so.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And that's kind of, and, you know, and then if you can stay off of Facebook and stay off of Facebook and the internet, you get more done. But you seem to get sidetracked researching sometimes. So.
Very much so.
Yeah, so that's kind of my, I don't really have any rituals, but the first few books I did make some playlists and some soundtracks kind of to listen to, but then I got to where I kind of mostly listened to those when I was driving around so I could kind of keep my story in my head. And some days, though, I just have to pull over so many times and write stuff down, I don't get a lot of progress made. A lot of physical progress, anyway.
Right. See, that's why I said you need a little voice recorder thing so you can do that, you know. Those little handheld ones.
Yeah, I need to do that. I probably need to really do that more. I probably make a lot more progress faster. But I might try that with this next one. But it's just fun. It's just fun getting a story, making a story. And, you know, I wrote that first one, and they just kept going after that. And it's like Pandora's box, you know. Once you open it up, you can't stuff it back in. The characters just keep talking to you, and they insist on you telling their story. So
that's what I keep doing.
Yep, so that's what I just keep doing.
Have you ever had been woke up in the middle of the night and you just absolutely could not go back to sleep until you wrote down a certain idea that popped in your head? Yeah.
Haunt My Heart. I probably typed 1,000 words of plot with my thumbs into my iPhone laying in bed.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I still got that little note in my phone that got that book started. There was a ghost hunt in town. There was a paranormal conference in town, and they were going to do a ghost hunt of one of the it's called the Shrine Mosque, and they'd never done one before. And I'd never been on a ghost hunt. I thought, that'd be fun. So I tried to get people to go. Nobody wanted to go. I was like, well, I'm going. So I went and went on the ghost hunt, and I was like, if I'm going to do this, I want to hold the equipment. I want an EMF detector, right? Mm-hmm. So they gave me an EMF detector, and we're going through, and nothing's happening. All of a sudden, the thing goes off. I was like, oh. Hey, something's happening in there. Looks like, oh yeah. And so they're trying to talk to the spirit, right? And trying to communicate, and it kind of quiets down. Then next thing you know, it goes off again. I was like, oh, it's going off again. So they're getting excited. And then a little bit later, my phone dinged in my pocket, and it got real quiet. And they're like, going on? I was like, yeah. It's like, oh. Well, every time your phone updates, that EMF detector is going to go off. I was like, well, you probably should have told me that at the beginning. I turned my phone off, and no more spirits communicated with
me
that night.
No more spirits came.
But that was what kind of got me started on Haunt My Heart. And and then before I went, my husband said, I don't know if that's a good idea for you to go on that ghost hunt. And I said, well, why not? And he goes, well, what if something follows you home? And I was like, what if it did? I was excited.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's kind of what happened in Haunt My Heart. Something followed her home.
You need to go to the house we lived in Missouri. It was in Jamestown, Missouri, which is in central Missouri.
Uh-huh.
It was haunted. It was definitely haunted.
Was it called the Demon House or something?
No, this is the house we lived in. We lived in it. Yeah, it was actually, and the reason I know that it was actually haunted was our daughter always talked about the ghost, and my husband said there was something there, and our son sent something. Me, thank goodness, I don't have that gift because I'd be a big coward. But the people that moved in after us, and we've never mentioned anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Their kids had the same experience that our daughter had. So
really?
We knew, there was a woman entity, and she used to sit on the edge of our daughter's bed, she said, and would stroke her hair like a mother with the daughter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she said she was like, Mommy, she stroked my hair at night. So that house is definitely haunted.
Isn't that interesting? Well, I would love to have an experience like that. I have not. I've only written about them, but
Well,
my face,
you need to hang out with
what's that?
She said, you need to hang out with my husband and daughter. They're both a couple of ghost magnets.
Yeah, I guess so. I think that's well, I think that's cool. I think there's definitely more out there than we can
right.
see.
I do, but yep. you know, my thing is aliens. I wanna meet the aliens. I don't really care about the ghosts, but yeah, the aliens is what I'm all into. So I would love to meet one. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be pretty amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
There's a lot more out there than we can see. Well, my Facebook avatar is from X-Files, I Want to Believe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's kind of my motto, I guess.
Yep.
Well, like that one movie, Contact, you know, if we're the only ones, that's an awful waste of space.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way we're the only ones.
No,
I just don't know if we'll make it to meet any of the other ones, but someday something's going to happen for sure.
Well, you know, it's like I was telling somebody, I said, somewhere out there in another world, we're the aliens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Have we ever thought about that? You know, turn it around, you know.
That'll blow your mind, man, if you think too hard on that.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, it would. So.
Well, we've covered the gamut tonight. Let's see, now we've covered Reapers, Ghosts, Bigfoots, Space Cowboys
aliens.
That travel in time, aliens, and now we...
I think we hit
it all.
And guinea pigs, right? So we got
guinea pigs. That's right.
And the infamous guinea pigs, yes.
Right.
Oh, how funny. Well, girls, I hate to tell you this, but we are running out of time.
Yeah.
Is there any last-minute thing you'd want to share with us before Blog Talk cuts us off?
Just go check out Reap and Repent. It's free everywhere. And it'll be a good story to get you started. And find me on social media. I'm everywhere. Find me on social media, and I love to connect with people. So can't wait to hear what people think about
it. We have your links here on the show. We have your links, your social media links here on Blog Talk, or you can go to deadlyreads.com, go into the Deadly Reads Radio tab for the month of October. And you will find Lisa's pretty picture there with her social media links, and you can hook up with her and go get her books.
Very good.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for coming. We've had a great time talking with you.
My pleasure.
We're going to have you back. We're going to have you back again. You are a hoot.
Well, that'd be great.
Right.
I had a great time. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, the next time you have a release, and we'll get you on here.
All right, that'd be great.
Yeah,
I'd love it.
Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, she was a lot of fun. She was a lot of fun. I enjoyed her.
Yeah, she has to be fun. Her name's Lisa.
I know. Lisa's are special people. They're the best.
Yeah, that's right. I keep telling you that, and you don't listen.
I know. Well, folks, we're going to have to say goodnight because we're about ready to get shut off. So come back here next Thursday evening. We'll have another fun show for you. And everybody on the East Coast, be safe. And that's it. Call it a wrap, huh?
That's it. Good night.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
We'll see you next week.